kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited. We've got a fun show lined up, some news to talk about, some reviews to take care of, and a bonus Stemmage is here.
Hey there. What's
Grant,
up?
Grant, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I like news. I like reviews. I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for you.
Yeah, right. Sure. No, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. We were chatting about the day, and I was like, and you're like, hey, come hang out. And so I'm here.
Yes, you are. You had a big day today, didn't you?
I did. I had a big music day. I had a game release today with my soundtrack that I was unable to speak of until today. So super exciting and tired.
Give us the details. What's going on?
Yeah, so today Apple Arcade launched. You guys are probably familiar with that. I don't know how much has come up on the show, but
not much at all. Honestly, we haven't talked about it.
Yeah,
because I'm pouting because they got Exit the Gungeon.
They did, didn't they? So that is an exclusive to Arcade, or is it just for? Is it like a time?
As far as I know, it's exclusive, but I haven't seen anything announcing it anywhere else.
Gotcha. Because there's other games that are not that are like, you know,
just time
launching on a couple things. Yeah, the game I worked on actually is exclusive as well, so it will not show up on anything else. But it's a game called Card of Darkness, and it's made by Zach Gage, who did Spell Tower and Ridiculous Fishing and Really Bad Chess and other mobile stuff. And the art is done by Pendleton Ward, who is most known for Adventure Time.
Nice.
And also Choice Provisions, who did the Bit Trip stuff, did Runner stuff in the last Bubsy game and more. So that team, and then I got to do the tunes for it, all the music and sound effects. So super fun.
That's pretty awesome
to do that. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a card game. It's sort of a minimalist card game. It's kind of solitaire-ish in a way, but it's like if you smash solitaire with sort of an adventure game. There's a numbers element to it. It doesn't have to do with playing cards. It has to do with picking them up. So, which is where this kind of solitaire thing comes from. So it's a bit different, and it's tough. I mean, you're sort of at the mercy of your deal, right? Kind of like real cards, like solitaire. Sometimes you blaze through, sometimes you hit a wall almost immediately, and that can happen in this game. But it's super colorful and a lot of fun. It's sort of level based, so you start at the beginning of the game with no cards of darkness available. But as you beat levels, you acquire cards that can then be equipped in a number of slots that you have available. That give you perks, and you can earn coins while you play through levels to buy more slots and other items and stuff to, you know, use get spells and weapons and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun, and it is an Apple Arcade exclusive. It's an Apple game, so it's the only way to play it is to give Apple $5 a month.
Which
hop into that pile. I'm curious to know your thoughts
about
that.
I can understand why they have the Apple Arcade subscription service, get all these games, you pay a subscription. I'm on iPhone. Why can't I just buy the goddamn game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I get the incentive to, like, they're trying to create an incentive for people to join, to have the service, but it really does, it just puts the wall up. I mean, I guess it's different when the console subscription services have not yet done the thing where they have not put any games behind Game Pass, for instance, right? They could.
Yeah.
But they've just chosen not to do that instead. And Apple's chosen to go this route. Apple's not, you know, Apple's never really done games very well. And this is kind of their big 1-2 punch, I guess. And they lined up some exclusives to do it. They've always been Apple and goes way back with Zach Gage. He's always released on their platform first. And he's had a lot of really good games come out there. And so I guess they had something work. They're probably the reason this game could get made. But it's just an exclusive like it is. Console exclusives can be. The difference is just it's not just Apple. It's also
a service exclusive, which I'm not a fan of. If it's an Apple exclusive, cool. If it's an Android exclusive, cool. If it's an Apple and service exclusive, come on, just let me buy the damn game.
Yeah, I mean,
I have enough subscriptions the way it is. I would rather drop $10 now on a game than pay $5 month after month, because I'll forget about that subscription and we'll just keep getting charged $5 every month.
You just proved their point.
Yeah, that's
exactly what all these are. So, yeah, you forget you didn't turn on Netflix for 2 months, you know, that kind of thing. So, maybe that's a bad example, but you know what I mean? Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if it's something where, you know, eventually they'll open up some of the, because there's, I don't know how many exclusives there are at launch, but there's a bunch. And I don't know how, if they plan on opening that up to maybe the rest of the platform later and it still stays with Apple. I don't know how that all works, but it has yet to be seen. I will say that the lineup is killer. So even though it's kind of a strange way to do it, people that are, like I got some buddies, some of one of the guys in the Metroid Metal forums, some other, people have got like the early access to it because they were in the beta, like the iOS beta.
Yeah.
So they get their early copy of the update, iOS 13, I guess is where they are now. And it just came with Apple Arcade. So people have been able to play it since Sunday. And they said the games are awesome. Like they've been, you know, haven't been mobile gaming much at all because mobile gaming is pretty annoying now. In most cases, you can't just drop $10 and get a game. You have to, you know, they just milk you for all you're worth. And they said
it's some games don't even allow that. They just force you to watch ads without any way to pay to get rid of them.
Exactly. So yeah, apparently the games are good. I guess if you could stomach the idea of the service, it's less than other services, but it's still, I think conceptually people are having a hard time with the model. And I understand.
I think the interesting thing about it is that the service isn't going to be enough to sell expensive ass iPhone systems. Like, I don't have an iPhone. I'm an Android person. I play on PC. I have a Hisense TV. I have jack shit in the Apple ecosystem. And I'm okay with that. And as much as I want to play some of the games that are on there, I'm not going to go throw out $1,000 for an iPhone just to play Exit the Gungeon.
Yeah, of course.
Right. And
yeah,
so I mean, it seems odd to me to go the exclusivity route and to pay for that kind of exclusivity, even just on a timed basis, when it's not the same concept as like, oh, I can buy an Xbox on eBay for like $150. You know, you're not finding an iPhone, one of the newer models that can handle the gaming.
You're not finding eBay that anywhere near $100.
You're not finding that for $100, maybe not even $200 or $300. So
probably closer to like $700-$800, I'm sure.
I mean, the entry level for getting in there and even playing these is so high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even an iPad or something is just ow. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely
interesting.
Yeah, this is definitely not a, they're not trying to sell systems. This isn't a system seller. This is like a upsell your already existing base.
Here's
like,
$5. It's so cheap.
It's kind of like, I just assume enough people are going to go screw it and just get it because it's as much as it's a burger and they'll, and people will just have cheap, it, I guess.
That's the big thing going forward. It's only $5 a month. So I'll probably try it just based on that alone. But I still wish I could just buy this stuff outright. Like Carnage was saying, you can only access the games through the service. At least with Game Pass, you can own the game.
Correct.
There's a Shantae game on there. I don't know if that's exclusive.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that.
It's episode one. So like the beginning of the new Shantae game. The full Shantae game is going to release on consoles.
Yeah, I know.
This is like a demo version of it, episode one. I don't know if they plan on releasing more episodes.
Some of the games in it are not even the complete game.
I don't know. I haven't kept an eye on the launch lineup of what all is in Apple Arcade. Grant, you said you saw some of the games in the lineup. What else is on there?
Oh, the guys who made Monument Valley have a game on there. Overland is on there, but Overland is also on all the systems.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to think of what... let me see if I can look up what the exclusives are.
It up, and I'm scared my computer might explode if I try doing anything else on it.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Let's see. game, a new game by these guys, Radian Games. I love all their games. They made Slydris and Inferno 2. Really good stuff. Their new little racing physics-based thing is on there. There's just something interesting. You got companies like Sega taking Mario Rocket. Racing. Choo-choo Rocket. Sega Racing. Sonic Racing's coming.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Let's see. Choo-choo Rocket's like the English Sega, I think. Is it that one? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I just remember getting a PR email that Choo-choo Rocket is back, and it's exclusive to Apple Arcade. Boo!
Yeah. There's a little pinball wizard game in here. It's a new Frogger game, because I guess Konami owns the Frogger license. And
a new Frogger game?
Yeah, it's like a level-based Frogger-y thing. I was listening to the Bombcast, and they didn't seem particularly keen on it. But a lot of these seem, these are neat. They I think there's sort of a bar set for quality. Maybe it depends on the kinds of games you want to play too. But there's a load of stuff on here. It's kind of an obscenely long list. One of those things where you get a new system and you have no idea what to buy because there's a handful you want to try immediately. Yeah. I got a feeling that they will immediately sort of dilute the attention for some of these games because there's so many at launch. But then again, if they're wanting to sell, again, it makes it worth it for five measly bucks too. So maybe
for $5 I'll bite. I can't help it but try all these subscription services.
Sure. I think there's a trial too. There's a trial. So you can always get a month, blast cool.
I'll
games.
Play a month, play your game, and then fucking quit.
you have to tell me how Exit the Gungeon is.
All right, I'll do that one too.
I'm sure you'll be bad at it, but that's okay.
It's a side scroller, right? I think
it's vertical scrolling.
Oh, is that what it is? Catch.
Yeah, it's a dungeon climber.
Interesting. And all these games also work on Apple TV. So even though I don't have Apple TV. Yeah. Some people, I don't know anything about it really. I just hear the controller's terrible, but a lot of people use it for their.
That's the other interesting thing. An Xbox or PlayStation 4 controller will work with the Apple Arcade.
With yes, iOS 13 they, now, yeah.
That is correct. Oh, that Hot Lava game's on here, but I think that's for other stuff too. Anyway, yeah, so the Card of Darkness game, it's mainly built for kind of one hand card game phone thing, but we did make a landscape orientation for the. For the Apple TV
fans,
so you use the controller and move the little hand around and pick up cards and shit. So,
nice.
But it's out. The soundtrack's out today. It was it's about 30 something minutes, and it's kind of synthy and experimental. Oddly, minor in tonality compared to the cartoonish nature of the game, which is on purpose. When I was first starting to write the music, I leaned a little friendly, I think, because it's the fucking Adventure Time, dude. It's like super, it's like flat, cute, odd animation. And then as I was talking to Zach, he really wanted to steer a bit darker because the game is tough. Like, it's a hard game. It's a challenge. And so it's an interesting dichotomy to have some minor-ish music over this really colorful palette. So that was kind of fun. So
I previewed a couple of the tracks earlier today while I was playing some Borderlands, and I was really enjoying what I heard. It's good stuff.
Cool. Thanks, man. Thanks. It's very, I was kind of experimenting with the analog-y, synth-y stuff. No, ain't no metal on here. There are a couple bangers, but no, nothing crazy. I think there's a guitar in one song, but, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a neat, it's fun to experiment with new stuff. And it's an honor to be able to be on a game with these names, these guys, and, people with this amount of talent. So it's neat.
You're talented.
Oh, you're talented. Oh, you, Joe. Oh, you, sir.
I am nowhere near talented, and this show is proof of that.
I mean, we're, 409,017 episodes in? We're doing fine.
That's a great number.
Yeah.
Yeah, 516 nice we're on. 516.
Wow.
We're inching up to 666.
We're getting there. Grant, we decided Norg has to do a song for episode 666. Are you going to work with him on it?
Oh, I mean, of course.
There's a rule, though. There's a rule. Are you ready?
All right.
It has to be backward.
All right. Oh, my God.
What
if we made a reversible song so you could play it backwards?
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking? Like,
that will work.
Subliminal messages? Like yes. The gate? Like Ozzy Osbourne?
Everything in the show is going to be done backward.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to start with the farewells, then do the reviews. The news is going to be last, and the introductions will be at the very end.
Just make it sound Like, it's just like Twin Peaks.
Yeah, the musical start. The musical start the episode
instead of end it.
Yeah, and if all else fails, I'll just use what the hell was the name of the album where you did everything backwards? Retrogression.
Wow, good memory. Yep. Retrogression.
I told you I'm a fan of yours, you dick.
Speaking of dicks,
those songs on the show enough.
Yeah, maybe I should. I definitely should not make a volume two.
Yes,
that
you
would
should.
Make volume. I would make volume one less funny if I made a volume two. You know what I mean?
Do what the One Ups did and just skip to volume four.
Oh, I like it.
I like how the One Ups like just skipped volume three and went right to volume four.
You just do volume question mark. Who knows?
Arm Cannon doing Arm Cannon 3 Leg Vacuum 2.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty fantastic.
Oh my god.
When's your next original album coming out?
That's a great question there, Joe. I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been kind of smothered and covered and chunked.
Delicious.
Yeah, I know. That's how we roll. For the last 3 months, it's been a crazy thing. I played my first run of solo shows ever. Played twice at MAGFest last weekend. Had this game thing I was trying to finish. Got some other projects. And so I just haven't, like, taken a moment to just spend some time on some original rock and roll. And I'm jonesing, Joe. It's time. I've got ideas.
It is time. I've been waiting. So
you've been very sweet and very patient in continuing to play Narrowband on your show because you're a babe.
Every week on the stream, we open it up with Narrowband.
Crazy.
And every episode, we end with Marigold.
You're nuts.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Now I got to make Narrowband 2, Marigold 3 or something.
Too narrow, too band.
Too narrow, too band. Oh, God. I got to go. I'm just kidding. That was awesome.
So I expect that to be the title.
Yes. It's like a 80, late 80s hip hop record.
Grant sitting over there with post-it notes.
Yeah,
sticking them all over the place.
That's where I get all my good ideas.
We're sorry. That means you're going to have a song on the album called Oh.
Oh, yes.
U-L-L.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, it'll work. U-H-L.
You should just do song titles that are just weird words that Cole says, spelled out how she says them.
Oh, over like yonder in the upper bottom.
Like far would be F-A-H-R.
My brother and I had this idea where we come up with all the song titles first, and then the rhythm of the song matches the name of the song. So, like, what was it? Over yonder, under bottom? Is that what you said?
Over yonder in the upper bottom.
Oh, over yonder in the upper bottom. So, deca, 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 deca is like the beat of the song, right? And you got to write something to match that because nerds. That's a hard one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He's writing that one down. That's going to be on the next album.
Dream theater-ish something or other.
I would imagine it would sound. You ever heard Incubus Aquarius Transmission?
What?
And how it's like really light and floaty.
I don't know. Is that an album or is that a song?
It's a song.
Which on what album?
Morning View.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's like a 14-minute long song, but it's literally it's like very light and floaty, and like there's an interview with Brandon Boyd, and he's like, by the time the song is done, I just want you to be so relaxed you piss yourself. And like that's kind of what I would imagine a song called Over Yonder in the Upper Butt. It would just be very like
just stoner light rock.
And floaty and floral and just, yeah.
I like it.
Melodic.
I like it. All those
beautiful.
Things. Peeing yourself, melody.
Who doesn't love pissing yourself? I mean, come on.
Okay.
I mean, it would be in honor of me because every time I sneeze, it's danger zone.
Cole, most people have things to do instead of listening to a 14-minute song. Well, I listen to Tool, so I can't really.
I think it's charming that Mika thinks that I listen to one 14-minute Incubus song and stop. I have every album they've ever made on Spotify in a row, and I just press play and let that shit go. And that's the background music to my life.
Hey, I'm playing music all the time when I'm at home, too. I'm sitting at my desk, unless I'm watching Twitch. Then I'm usually watching music and Rock Band on there.
Has Chris made you listen to the new Big Rec record yet?
No, he hasn't, but I've been interested in checking it out because he talks about them so much.
I know. It's very good. It's a really good record. I need to get up with him. I haven't talked to that guy in a while. But it's a very good album. They're coming. I'm going to see them in October, I think.
Oh, really?
Or November. One of those months. This year. I'm seeing them this year.
Nice. I just saw the band Cold. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I remember. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Yeah. They just put out a new album last
week.
Wow.
Crazy. That's
nuts.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, a lot of bands putting out albums last, like, month.
Oh, my God. Dude, the amount of albums coming out is insane right now. Like, I bought Puddle of Mud came out last week. Baby Metal has a new one coming out. Opeth has a new one coming out. Hell Yeah has a new one coming out. Of Mice and Men has a new one coming out. As I Lay Dying, Blink-182, KMFDM, Alter Bridge. There's so many albums coming out. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what's going on. And the games, too. Games are like, it's like an avalanche this week.
Yeah. Dude, tomorrow's Link Awakening. I can't. Dwaggy in chat was saying he's excited about, or that they're excited about Link's Awakening. I can't wait. Sorry, Dwaggy. I don't know if you're a guy or a girl.
So excited. I'm so hyped. It's in the mail. I decided just to Amazon it and it'd be here tomorrow.
Nice.
We don't have there's not a good game shop that has stuff day one here. So I just, it's kind of a sellout thing, but I went ahead and it's in the mail. It's going to be here in the mailbox tomorrow. I'm very excited. And then the freaking Goose Game comes out tomorrow, which I kind of forgot about.
Goose Game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's other stuff too. I can't remember, but there are things launching. Overland comes out tomorrow, which has been kind of a thing that has been, you know, I've heard, seen news about forever.
I thought it was out already. I saw it on the Xbox store earlier.
Oh, maybe it was last week.
I thought maybe it came out today or yesterday. I don't know.
Nope, September 19th.
Oh, Carnage says Overland came out today. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Crazy. Those
weird Thursday releases.
Seriously. All kinds of stuff to play. It's great. I haven't finished Creature in the Well yet. Kind of wanted to finish that before Zelda, but it probably won't. I don't know. I'm like halfway done with it. It doesn't seem particularly long, but it's getting kind of tough. So.
What did you think of that game? When we got it in, I know Tim Ekibis was really excited about covering it, so I didn't get to talk to you about it. He asked about it like weeks before it released, but I was curious what you thought about Creature in the Well.
It's cool. It's not, people keep throwing the pinball thing around. It's way more like a breakout thing than pinball.
That's what Tim was saying.
It's neat though. It's really tough and it's way better on the TV with a controller because the Switch stick accuracy on the Joy-Con it's just not there at all. And you really got to aim these. You unlock a bat that has a laser sight a couple hours into the game if you find it. So that helps for shooting things that are across the room, but you have to act pretty quickly. And if you don't have the controller with a good stick on it, it can be pretty tough to maneuver. But I'm enjoying it. It's neat. It's a very different thing. So far, there aren't really any enemies to speak of. You're just sort of fighting the environment, which is kind of a cool idea. Like, you die in that game a decent bit, but it's all environmental reasons, right? It's like puzzles and, like, active puzzles. And it's like, you know, lasers and shit. Look out. I haven't killed anything yet, except for, like, turrets and things. So I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be... I was kind of trying to stay away from trailers and stuff. But maybe you fight the creature. Maybe you, like, get on his back and ride off into the sunset. Maybe he's, like, Falcor. I don't know. But I like it. I think it's cool.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. What else are you looking forward to? What's coming out this year that you're excited about?
Jeez, I need like a list. There's some stuff I just missed. I really want to play WRC8 rally game that just came out that I didn't play.
I wish I knew you were into rally games. I would have had you review it.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah. Darn.
Now I know for next year.
Yeah. I love rally. I'm a big rally junkie. I watch the WRC stuff every month. And let's see. Oh man, I need a list. What's left? What's coming out this year? I really want to play Control, but I haven't gotten there yet.
I know Ghost Recon's coming out. Dragon Quest on the Switch is coming out.
Yeah.
The Baldur's Gate and Planescape remakes on console. Contra, The Surge, Monkey Ball.
I really want to play the new. There's the Darksiders kind of isometric
Darksiders Genesis.
Genesis, yeah, it looks really cool. It got some decent impressions. It's kind of a, it plays like more like the old Darksiders, but it's an isometric game. So that's kind of a cool idea. It's not really a looty game, so I'm curious to play that. New Doom. I mean, it's kind of coming. You know, we're already a part of the way through September, where there's October stuff kicking. Then we're just at the end of the year. It's crazy. It's just coming straight at us. What else is coming?
Death Stranding's coming. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Fucking Death Stranding. That one looks so weird.
Isn't that next month?
November 8th.
November, okay. It looks really weird. Normally I like staying away from media, but for that, I'm just trying to take it all in to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. I love the way he tries to weave together stuff. It's very David Lynch. And I think it's neat. It could be fun. It could be fun to watch too, if it's not just walking around constantly.
Your urine is a weapon.
Really? I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. What was it recently? Gamescom? Where they showed it all off? TGS,
Tokyo Game Show.
No, because he was in Germany. It was Gamescom, because they made a big fuss over him leaving Japan during crunch. Mm. But yeah, you can use urine as a weapon, and like in the videos they showed, in the places that he would pee, little mushrooms would pop up that you collect and use. But they made a very big deal of the fact that no matter how you move the camera, you can't see Norman Reedus's weenus.
Oh, it's too bad.
So, no weenie for you.
Norman weenus?
Yeah. Norman I'm glad you caught up on that.
Too bad. Oh, Jesus.
Did you have someone on the show? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did see a clip where if you stare at his crotch too often in the game, he punches the camera.
What?
Yeah.
So weird.
That's basically the best way to describe everything about that game.
Yeah, Kojima's weird. So, yeah.
But did you see that people were pissed off over the game's going to have a very easy mode where it's like no combat, it's just the story. And so like people were pissed off and saying that they should call it game journalist mode and because games journalists can't play the games. And there was an article where a chick was like, I think it was written by a chick, but she was basically, every game should have a very easy difficulty, honestly. Yeah. And so then everybody's just like, hey, if you can't play games where they're meant to be, then don't play it at all. It's not meant for you. And I'm sitting here going, but my fingers are crooked. I want to play games.
People can't help.
But they were basically like, you're ruining the developer's vision if you want an easy difficulty.
Oh, shut up.
Because people
games suck. Should be accessible for everyone. That's why Microsoft making the adaptive controller is so cool, because they make games accessible to everyone.
I think the oddest thing about the argument too is like, it doesn't affect the game. If you want to play it on a harder difficulty, don't play it on very easy. Yeah. the fuck does it matter if somebody else is playing it on easy?
Yeah, I played through Uncharted 4 on easy because I wanted to see the amazing graphics and the good writing, because good writing is very rare in games. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those games play kind of like trash. So I want an easy mode. I want to be a tourist. Like, yeah. I don't care to deal with the shooting. I'm not that great at twin stick games. And if I want to just go and watch it like a movie, let me, you know, yeah. 60 bucks that more they make. It doesn't dilute it for the people that play it on hardcore.
How many games come out these days. Like, I used to check if there were difficulty related achievements in a game before starting a game, just in case, like, oh, well, I want to get the hard, normal, and easy all at the same time. But now I just pick the very easy because I don't have a lot of time. I might not finish the game to begin with.
Yeah. I'm like, this is all I got time for. Get the fuck out of here.
7 hours in the game, that's good. I've done enough. I got to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Yep. I was just looking down a list here. not to get away from the easy hard conversation, but Luigi's Mansion 3, I'm pretty freaking hyped for that. I didn't play the second one just because I wasn't kind of in a DS mode, the 3DS mode at the time. But this new one looks beautiful. It looks pretty neat, and I think I'm going to have to dive in and get it. I wish it was coming out before Halloween so I could kind of play it leading up to Halloween instead of on Halloween. But I'm in. I'm probably going to pick up Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, I never played the second one either, but I love the first one.
Yeah, well, I feel like a lot of people just kind of missed it. I mean, there was a window when that came out where people had sort of fallen off the 3DS and were playing other things, weren't giving it as much attention. So kind of after Link Between Worlds went away and people just stopped playing the 3DS as much. But yeah, I don't know anyone that's actually played it, the second one. So
yeah, my 3DS has been sitting unloved on my desk for a while.
I've got a 20-hour battery on mine. I spent the coin for that. And then haven't touched it in ages. I got a Switch. It's kind of like I don't really need to touch 3DS anymore.
Yeah, and now they have the Switch Lite, so they really are replacing the portable.
Those release on the 20th, so at the time we're recording this, that's tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. At the time this comes out, fuck you, you're late to the show.
Yeah, released with Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I want to hold one. I'm sure I'll have one at the, you know, somewhere to hold.
Probably. Number three is saving her penny jar. And
really?
Every time she's lost four teeth, and every time she loses a tooth, she makes me put her tooth fairy money in the penny jar. And so we got it out and we counted it the other day. It was yesterday. And she goes, okay, she says, I need you to help me count this. And she's going on, it's so heavy, I don't know how I'm gonna carry it. She brings it in here, we count it out, it has $22 in it.
Oh.
And wow. She goes,
that's a lot of pennies, though.
I mean, that's a lot for a 6-year-old.
Seriously.
But she goes, she says, I have $22? That's so much. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. And she goes, how much more for the Switch? You're about 180 short. And she went, oh, crap.
She's like an eighth of the way there. You know what I mean? She's like, needs more pennies.
She was not impressed. She just went, oh, crap.
Aww.
She's on a mission. She wants the yellow one.
I like it. Yellow's pretty cool. I'd probably go dark. I think I'm kind of a gray console, dark console kind of guy. I feel like the dark frame lets the screen pop. That's kind of been my way of thinking. But the turquoise one and the yellow one look pretty great.
Yeah, so, if I got one, I would go with turquoise. I love blue.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting color. They don't normally like that matte finish looks really good. Yeah.
I would be interested. It's just the lack of TV connectability kills it for me.
Yeah, that's I'm mostly handheld, but I do like putting it on the TV. Like I was just saying, I feel that Creature in the Well is best on the TV.
Yeah. Or even something like Mario Kart. It's great on the tiny screen, but once you blow it up in 60 frames per second, it is so gorgeous.
Yeah, same with Mario. What the heck's it called? Odyssey?
Yeah.
What's that damn game called? They really squashed down the resolution. It's a very muddy game in handheld. I played it some like that, but after you play it on TV for a while and you go handheld and you go swimming, it looks like a badly encoded, it's like your YouTube quality dropped. You know what I mean? but the fact that it's playable at all blows my mind. So, I love my Switch.
Here's a game I'm sad that nobody said they were looking forward to. Are you ready?
Sure.
I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator.
Oh, jeez.
What?
That is comes out Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, for Windows PC.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah. It is real. It is a KFC-sponsored Colonel Sanders dating simulator.
Oh, my Lord.
It looks very well illustrated.
That's what they got going for them, so I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't make
any promises, but it looks very well illustrated.
I wonder if they got some sort of like reputable dating sim maker people to make it. You know? Sure.
Surely we know any
reputable dating sim makers?
I mean, I don't, but the fans of the dating sim genre, I'm sure, can name off a few.
I mean, there is
Dark
Nika
could probably name a few.
Maybe that's what happened to the guy who was making Data Fidget Spinner, and that's why we haven't got Data Fidget Spinner 3 yet. Maybe he got co-opted to make I Love You, Colonel Sanders.
Data fidget spinner.
Okay, it says it was developed by PSYOP and published by KFC.
Wow.
Well, you fucking know I'm looking at the Steam page for it.
That's amazing.
I've heard of this game before. Kismet. It's a VR game.
I don't know.
I recognize it. It was also made by the same developer. A legit development team.
Hmm.
This was not a dating sim, but
how much is it?
$3.99 for
Kismet. Hell yeah, that's the cost of a that's less than a what are we talking about, KFC? It's less than the small dark meal. I don't know. What do they sell at KFC? What do you get? They don't sell the big crazy chicken sandwich. They have
$5 fill-up boxes.
Yeah, I love their the friggin' famous bowls are awesome. I love those.
Oh yes, those are. Oh my gosh.
The mashed potato bowls.
Yep. Oh, I want one now.
And they're only $5 with a drink and a cookie.
That's insane.
It's so unhealthy.
This is the third game from this development studio or these devs. And all of their games have very positive reviews.
So the KFC game is in good hands.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see how this pans out for them. I'd hate to see their... I love that the popular user-defined tags is dating sim, visual novel, anime, and masterpiece.
Wow. Wow.
Oh my god.
That is impressive.
Dark Mika, I'm 100% playing it. She should review it on the show.
There's a corgi named Professor Dog. Oh boy.
Joe, did you play the Return of the Obra Dinn game?
No, I didn't. I saw it's coming to console though, so I'll probably try it then.
It's coming to Switch. I'm excited about that.
I think they confirmed it's coming to everything.
Probably. They didn't put a date on it yet, but I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Need for Speed Heat. I like my cars, man.
Have you played Wreckfest yet?
Oh, yes, I did.
What do you think of Wreckfest?
Awesome game. Just the physics are beyond anything that I would ever imagine could be in a game.
What do you have it on? Steam?
It's on PC.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
I have it on Xbox. We could have played together. Oh, well.
I know. Man, I want an Xbox. The Game Pass stuff is just killing.
I saw Costco had a deal. You could get an Xbox One X, like the Forza Horizon 3 bundle for $2.99. Something crazy like that. I don't know if it's still going on or not, but if you have a Costco membership, you might want to look on there.
I think I have some family that do.
Come Black Friday, you'll be able to pick them up for like $150. Oh,
you're
$180.
Totally right.
They'll be everywhere.
Maybe not true. 180 from 500 to 180. I don't know about that.
Oh, not the X. You could
not
probably,
the X, an S.
Yeah, an S you could do. Like I'm saying an X was 300.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, that's nuts. I still don't have an X, so I'm just like meh.
That's I would want that. I would like
S. The S is cheap as balls, and it's fine unless you want to play Control on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've heard that.
No one talk about that.
All right, here's some trivia because I can't remember the name of this game. So this game came out about two three months ago. People sort of it's about going to space and exploring and dying a lot and coming back to Earth, and it looks kind of like someone equated it to camping in space. It's not Outer Worlds because that's getting ready to come out. It's not Overland because that's another thing. It's like it's something Worlds.
Outer
Wilds. Fuck video game names.
Yeah, seriously. Outer Worlds and Outer Wilds both come together.
I haven't messed those up so many times.
I want to play that. I mean, come on. Overland, Overworld. What are they? I don't even know what they are. Outer Wilds, Outer Lands.
Outer Wilds and Outer Worlds.
Ugh, whatever. And then I'm looking at a game called Greedfall, and I'm like, video game names.
Hey, we'll be talking about that one soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious about that.
Actually. Yeah, we're reviewing that one after you're gone.
Gotcha.
Rip.
Unless you want to review it now, should we get Dark Mika on now and review it? Do you want to hear about it?
I can't stay. I have to go. but I'm going to listen to it like I do. But that one I want on Switch. I'd like to be able to have that one, and it'd be nice to have that one portable. I'm in that weird like Switch mindset where it's not...
I don't think Greedfall is on the Switch.
What is?
I don't think Greedfall is on Switch. I think that's only PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
No, the Outer Wilds is I'm wanting to want it to come there.
Outer Wilds, all right.
I don't know if it will, but I don't know. But I just love that, be able to whip it out real quick. Just being able to whip it out, Joe.
Hey.
Just being able to whip it out right on the desk.
Yes. Plop. Right in front of me. Let me touch it.
This is instigating my penis envy. Speaking of dicks.
That's so gross. I'm talking about the Switch. Cole.
Yes, jeez. But it sounds much like penis talk, so I'm just like, well, I can't participate in this. Hold on.
Just pretend.
Let me draw a weenie and set it in my lap.
Okay. Quote of the year. Cole. That's good stuff. I do like it, though, be able to kind of, if Claire's watching TV or something, I can play a game. Or if, you know, if I'm rendering a giant frickin' song and it's taking forever, I can just, you know, pull it out and play a couple rounds of something. It's just nice. I enjoy it. I feel like there is a bit of an investment to like get everything turned on, sit down, start the game, boot it up out of safe mode. Whoops, it turned off. I don't know why. Oh, I got to update the firmware. But, you know, the Switch is like on. It doesn't even matter if there's a pause menu or not. It's every game has pause. Just put it to sleep and you're done. Yeah. I don't know. I love it. So kind of wish I had the new one that has the better battery life, but shit happens.
Yeah. That's the only difference there is anyway. Just slightly longer battery life. It goes from like 4 hours to 6 hours, something like that.
It's actually, I heard it's depending on the game you play, it can double like four hours to 8 hours, seven or eight, like a pretty substantial increase. But I rarely am playing it where I run out. So that's not that big of a deal. Anyway.
Carnage has just been naming over games for the past.
Over games.
Yeah. Outland, Outer Wilds, Outland, Overland, Overload, Overwatch, Overlord, Overpass, wow. Overcooked, Overcooked 2, Overruled, Over G-Fighters, Overkill. There's a lot of overs.
Dude, I'm over it.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. Outland. You said Outland, didn't you? Outland's a good game.
Oh, man. Well, I know you've been on here for a while. You told me at a half hour. It's been like 45 minutes. Did you want to get going?
Yeah, I probably should take off. I don't know. Is there anything else I'm supposed to say? Hey, really? My soundtrack is on the Bandcamps. And then tomorrow, by the time you hear this, it will be everywhere. It'll be on Sporty Tunes and iFi and Deezer and I don't even know all of the services that don't pay me but allow you to listen to music for very cheap. Nice. It's there. Go check it out. I like the song Mount Lavelgrave. When I wrote it, envisioning like hot lava bad guys playing cards and eating sloppy joes. So when you listen to Mount Lavelgrave, that's what you'll see in your mind's eye. I promise.
Lavelgrave. That is such a weird name. I had to open up the soundtrack and look at the name to see how it was spelled.
You should see the names in this game. Like, Zach hired a writer friend of his to help kind of pen it and came up with these world names. And there's some just fantastic. I just named the songs based off the world they're in because there was nothing else I needed to do. They're all amazing. So you have to check that out.
Well, we will be playing a couple of songs at the end of the show. So that will be something for people to keep an ear on. At the end of the show, we'll be playing a handful of songs. Where can people get it? You said Bandcamp, and then it's going to be on everything?
Yeah, it's on everything. You could just stemagemusic.com has links to everything. It's reasonably updated.
And how much?
I think the soundtrack's $7 on Bandcamp, but it's variable everywhere else, and you can always Spotify it if you want. So
there you go.
That's a deal. And the game is free for $5 a month forever.
Free. So. All you got to do is pay for it.
Game's actually pretty damn fun. Like it's a pretty fun card game. Especially like it's not the kind of sometimes the strategy card game stuff stresses me out, like Hearthstone-ish things. This is a very different thing. It's kind of more my speed, so maybe you guys will like it.
Nice. I will definitely have to check it out and let you know what I think. But Grant, it is always a pleasure having you on the show, chatting with us and keeping us company. You got to come back more often. We miss you.
I know. We cross paths once every too much time.
Yeah.
But we'll round up again soon, and I'll go working on Too Narrow, Too Band ASAP.
Sounds good. And when you have something else to talk about, come join us.
Will do.
Awesome. You have yourself a wonderful night, Grant.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hugs and kisses.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Oh, good stuff. I love having him on.
Yes.
He's good people.
Grant is a good egg. Yeah.
Good egg, yes. Shout out to Awesome Prime raiding us. Prime and Lincho are hanging out in chat. Zombies are Cuddly is in chat. So thanks, everyone, for hanging out, keeping us company. We have a lot more show to go. We have the news to take care of. You ready to dive into this stuff?
Yeah, I guess. Let's go.
We got some new Game Pass additions. Okay. That's always fun to talk about. This week alone, this week, we got Jump Force and Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
That's impressive.
That's insane. Bloodstained is what, like 2 months old?
That's what I was about to say. I'm just going to stop reviewing shit for you because I'm going to get it on Game Pass in 2 months anyway.
Yeah. Bloodstained is on Game Pass already. That's insane. They didn't even release a patch on the Switch yet, and it's on Game Pass.
Wow.
Let me tell you how happy I am that I imported that son of a bitch for a ridiculous amount of money. Like, you get a metal case with it, but hey, at least it looks pretty on my shelf.
That's important.
Yeah. And then next week, Game Pass is getting three more games with Bad North, Dirt Rally 2.0, and Lego Worlds.
Nice. Yeah. The kids will be excited about Lego. They love the Lego games.
I'm excited about Dirt Rally 2. I never picked that one up, so I get to give that one a go. If Grant's still listening, he might be interested in jumping on that as well.
You make it another left turn.
Once he gets his Xbox. We that'll be our next Patreon goal. It'll be getting Grant an Xbox. Find one on eBay for $120 again.
Wait, you said our next Patreon. Did you set us up for Patreon?
No, I didn't.
You sucker.
I know. I'm still torn on the whole Patreon thing. Like, what the fuck am I going to put there? Just MP3s of us before the show?
Yes.
That's all I would have to offer. That and if you drew stuff for people.
I will draw all the penises.
Draw dicks for people. Yes. So yeah, if you subscribe to us on Patreon, again, go to patreon.com/ Custom cocks. Oh man. Epic Games Store gets a lot of hate, but have you seen the free games they're giving away this week?
I have heard it is quite impressive.
Yes, they are giving away Batman the Arkham Collection, which is Arkham Knight, Arkham City, and Arkham... What the fuck was the first game? Arkham Asylum.
I fucking don't know.
Yeah. But that's not it. Three games is not it, because they're also giving away the Lego Batman Trilogy.
Damn.
So you can get six games for free this week just by having their store on your PC.
Yeah. Carnage says even if you won't play on me, download them. I do the same thing.
I don't download them. I just add them to my account.
If my computer can run it or not, eventually I might have one that can, and either I or one of the kids or D might want to. It's better to have it there than not.
Yeah, I have one game downloaded from the Epic Games Store, and that's Shakedown Hawaii.
Fortnite was already installed on this computer when I bought it, and I have not once loaded it.
Why don't you uninstall it?
I don't know. I keep forgetting that it's there. Like, I don't think about it. And so then I'm just like, oh, every now and then I scroll past F and I see Fortnite, and I'm like, fuck that computer. Oh, yeah. And then I carry on.
See, I keep my eye on that because I only have a 1 terabyte hard drive on my PC, and it's getting really full because of how much music I have.
Oh, yeah.
Which, go figure, I have 25 terabyte of storage on my Xbox, but one on my PC.
No, see, I have quite a bit of storage on my PC because of the nature of the art files that I create. Sometimes they can get up to like 100 gig on their own.
Yeah.
Depending on how many layers there are.
Yeah.
And the size of it. So it's like I have two solid state drives and a regular drive. And I think total I've got like 5 or 6 terabyte.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need more storage on my computer.
And see, I'm the other way around. I need more on my Xbox because all I've got on the Xbox is my 500 gig solid state drive and the 500 gig internal. It's like, it's not enough.
No, it's never enough.
No, not with 1,000 games sitting and ready to install.
But 25 terabyte.
Tempting.
3 8-terabyte hard drives and then the 1 terabyte internal. I have problems.
What necessary problem? Because you play Rock Band and you need all them songs downloaded. You can't just like leave them sit. Like all my shit, if I'm not playing it, I just let it sit and ready to install because I got high enough download speeds that I download shit in 15, 20 minutes. So yeah. I don't have to sweat it, but you got to leave all that Rock Band shit sitting there, or you don't get to play it.
See, the thing is, my Rock Band stuff isn't on my console with all that storage.
Lord. Joe, yeah, you're nuts.
I actually removed it from there because I forget what the hell happened, but I had to delete it and delete all the songs and had to re-download everything. The problem is they didn't show up in my ready to install list.
Mm.
Nothing. 2,600 files. Nothing showed up in my ready to install except for the game.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know why. I tried transferring it from the one console to the other, but because of how many songs there are, it kept crashing the transfer tool. So I just gave up. Crazy. I have all my songs on my office console and that's it. And my office console is just the internal hard drive.
Yikes.
Yeah. Lincho says 2,200, like 70 gig for Rock Band. I should fire it up and see how big my Rock Band file is.
Bigger than the Master Chief collection.
I don't think it's over 100. It's bigger than
Quantum Break with the TV show installed as well.
That's like 170 right there. 175, yeah, something crazy. I don't know. But Medieval for the PS4 has gone gold. So there's some news. Our friends, I think Other Ocean are doing that. Nice. That releases October 25th for only $30.
Good deal.
So I will be jumping on that one for $30. Castle Crashers Remastered finally made the jump to Switch and PS4 this week. So it is now available on all the major platforms once again, which is good news.
Mm-hmm. I've never played it, so I'm
You've never played like, Castle Crashers?
I know.
What the? There's a lot of games that I question that you've never played, but Castle Crashers?
Yeah, I've never
played it. What the fuck?
I think I have it, too, and it's just there.
The whole family should be playing that one together.
Just chilling. Do you think I want to actually play with my kids?
You do play with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
I was wrong. 2,592 files, 100.9 gig. So it is over 100 gig.
Nuts.
Yeah. I have a lot of songs.
I don't think there's anything that's particularly a large file on my hard drive at the moment. All of the stuff, 90% of what I keep installed is like 256 megabyte indies.
No,
I don't think I've got anything impressive. Well, maybe. I wonder how big the Walking Dead Definitive Edition is. Because it is five games, technically, in one.
I thought it was six. Weren't there maybe. Four seasons plus 400 days plus Michonne?
400 days was DLC for the first season.
Oh, I thought that was considered its own standalone.
No, it was DLC. I'm going to look, see, managed game. But it is on there, though. No, it's only 45 gig.
That's still pretty good.
It's a good size game, but it's not, you know, Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Or Gears 4.
Oh, yeah. Gears 4 was a big one, too.
Yeah, I think that's a 105, something like that.
Oh, wait. Red Dead 2 is huge. Odyssey. Let's see how big this is. 66.2.
Yeah. I was going to say 60 something.
Origins is only 49, but I think that's we got that on disc.
Mm. So you can delete that, free up some space.
David would kill me. Oh, wait, Battlefield 1 is 75 gig. Look at that.
Holy shit. Just sort by install size.
Oh, yeah. You can't you?
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is it doesn't include DLC in that. So when I sort that way, Rock Band is like
way at the bottom.
15 gig. So 15.6 gig. So it's way far down. But let's see, some other news. The first three Dragon Quest games are going to be coming to the Switch on the 27th to go along with the release of 11 on the Switch. The games are touched-up mobile ports of the Super Famicom remakes of the game. So if that's not enough layers, I don't know, maybe you could play it on your TV with a different controller. I don't know. Dragon Quest 1 will run $5. Dragon Quest 2 will run $6.49, and Dragon Quest 3 will clock in at $12.49. Or if you go on PlayAsia.com, they have a collector edition, but just a collection of all three games on one cart for $40.
Nice.
Which I will probably import because I have so much shit on my Switch downloaded the way it is.
Terrible.
I have problems. I told you, I have download problems. A lot of problems.
You don't say.
Yeah. Bandai Namco filed trademarks for a number of titles in Japan under an Encore branding, which seems to be pointing at some re-releases. Two of them were Japanese titles, Genpei Tuma Den Encore and Wagyan Land Encore. I don't know what the hell they are.
The no idea what any of that is.
The other three, we have Mr. Driller Encore, which is cool. I love Mr. Driller.
Okay.
Splatterhouse Encore.
Okay.
And Klonoa Encore.
Okay. I don't know what any of those are.
Oh, I love Klonoa. It was a PS1 game, and it got a Wii remake or sequel, something like that. Or a remake on the Wii and a sequel on the Game Boy Advance, I think it was. Huh. Really, really good game, though.
Interesting.
Awesome Prime. I have a 1 terabyte flash card on my Switch. Damn. How much did that cost you? I think mine's a 200 gig, something like that. I know it's not 1 terabyte, though. Anyway, at Tokyo Game Show, Konami confirmed that a new Bomberman game is in development.
Okay.
That's all we know, but it's good to know more Bomberman is on the way.
I know that's a popular franchise.
Indeed. And then last bit of news that I have is that in Take It With a Truckload of Salt news, the person who correctly stated that Microsoft would acquire... Ashley's leaving. The person who stated Microsoft would acquire Double Fine sent out a tweet claiming Microsoft's next two acquisitions were going to be White Owls. That is Sweary Studio, the guy who made Deadly Premonition.
Okay.
And White Owls, they're the ones who made The Missing, J.J. Macfield, and The Island of Memories. So that would be an interesting acquisition. It would give them some Japanese clout, that's for sure. The other one, this is a lot more unbelievable, but if it's true, it is fucking massive. Gearbox.
Well.
Yeah. Again, take it with a whole truckload of salt. It is most likely false news, but that's a rumor that, making the rounds, and that would be weird as hell if Gearbox became a Microsoft studio.
Yeah. Watch your blood pressure with all the salt you're going to take with that one. But
Dark Mika, buy Gearbox and get rid of the heads of it. Yes, I agree. But could you imagine if Borderlands 4 was Xbox exclusive?
Oh, people would be so pissed.
Oh, they would be furious.
People pissed anyway. And that would make salty, salty tears.
Yeah. Though I really don't think the Gearbox one has any merit to it, but it would be interesting for sure. It's fun to talk about.
Let's back up to the fantasy of Borderlands 4 being an Xbox exclusive, and let's just go ahead and put it like this. Borderlands 4 would be an Xbox exclusive that launches into Game Pass.
Oh my god, it would. That would be amazing.
It would be incredible. Especially because Game Pass has been getting a lot of hate from the PlayStation side on the Twitter ecospheres lately.
Yeah.
So that would really piss some people off.
Yeah, it would. But yeah, that's the news I have. Anything you want to talk about?
No. I have been in a bubble of bullshit this week, and I don't really want to get into it for the sake of the show, but I have no fucking clue what else has happened. Like, I've been very self-absorbed this week, and I don't know squat about what's going on in gaming, besides the occasional squabble here or there that has hit my Twitter timeline.
So you don't want to talk about any personal... I understand that. It's good to keep... I'll talk about some personal stuff. I got a new cat.
Kitty!
We mentioned this in the pre-show. Of course, that content is available again on our Patreon. Our non-existent Patreon. But, last week, Ashley and I went to my niece's birthday party. And when we were leaving, they live next to an ice cream place. And in the ice cream place's parking lot was just a cat walking around the parking lot, dodging cars.
Aww.
Very friendly cat walked up to us immediately, started rubbing up against us, purring, absolutely adorable. I went inside the ice cream place, asked if they knew whose it was. They said it was some person who just moved in down the road who has just ignored their cats. They let them all out and they just basically abandon them.
Aww.
They don't take care of them. The flea collar that the cat had on was like rotting off. That's how old it was.
Oh my goodness.
So they were like, if you want to take the cat, we don't care. And we're like, we already have 8 cats. We can't really take another one. So I went back outside. I told Ashley that it was someone down the road. It just basically abandoned. There were other people in the parking lot who were like, oh, why don't you take it? It's so nice to you. And, you know, you should take it and take care of it. So we're being pressured by like all these other people in the parking lot. We tried taking it over into the grass and leaving it and shooing it away. Kept following us. So fuck it. We have a 9th cat now.
He found his humans.
Pretty much. And we admit and acknowledge that we stole this cat, but we don't care because the owners were negligent.
Yeah.
And we named him Pickle.
Pickle is best.
And he's meowing behind me now. Hi, Pickle. Come here, Pickle. I'll show Pickle on camera. So if people are watching the stream, here's Pickle.
You can see him on our Patreon.
Yeah, subscribe to us on Patreon. Follow us on there for all the latest updates on Pickle and owning Pickle. Pickle on SML. Dark Mika was saying that I knew it would be an indoor cat instead of an outdoor cat. Those are different cats. We also have 4 to 5 outdoor cats who are just neighborhood strays that hang out in our yard. We'll just look out the back window, look at the gazebo, and hey, there's 3 cats hanging out back there. They come in and out of the yard, come and go as they please. We've started leaving them food just so that they could be nourished.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to be all over us and staying here and bringing more cats because, hey, we're feeding them and food. But, yeah, we have a 9th cat now.
Number one is convincing us to get a 3rd. She went to a friend's. Her friend had a couple of kittens that didn't even have their eyes open yet, weren't crawling around or anything yet. And number one fell in love with a little gray and white one.
Aww.
And like her friend, she didn't even have the audacity to text me. Her friend texts me a picture of her holding the kitten. And she's like, I'm sorry, she fell in love. He's ready in 5 weeks. And I'm like, hold on a second.
Oh, geez.
So he will be coming to live with us, I guess, in 2 weeks or so. He's got a little bit longer to go. His eyes are open now. And he's,
you have a name yet? Like
crawling around. Castiel. We're going to call him Cass.
Ah, nice.
Supernatural. And if anybody doesn't get that, or does kind of get it, my other cat's name is Gabriel. And in Supernatural, Gabriel and Castiel are angels, fallen angels.
Ah. So,
yeah.
I'm not familiar with the show.
Yeah.
Ashley watches it, but...
There's a whole arc about, like... Well, Gabriel is technically an archangel, which makes more sense because my Gabriel is a massive motherfucking cat. He would like make Pickle look like a small fry. Gabe is just obscenely large.
Oh, man.
And so it makes more sense he's named after an archangel, but Castiel, we'll call him Cass for short. Every one of my cats, none of them go by their whole name. Just kind of dawned on me as that, but it's fine. Because we typically call Gabriel Gabe.
Yeah.
And then Raven, I typically refer to as Rave. And then Castiel will be calling Cass.
It depends on which cat is, you know, if we call them by their name or by a nickname or by a shortened name. Or my favorite will always be Peaches. We call her Bitch Face. We've been calling her Bitch Face for about 8 years now.
With the dogs, it's split 50-50 because Isidore we call Iz or Izzy. And then Duncan, I will often shorten it to Dunks. And I'll just say, Dunks, come on. Because that's all he hears anyway. That's all he cares about. And then, but Donovan and Dante, I don't shorten their names at all. In fact, Dante, if I call him anything, I call him the Spotted Bastard.
The Spotted Bastard.
And you have to know, Dante's old, and he will bowl you the fuck over. Like, he's very affectionate to a fault. And he doesn't understand that he's a 60-pound Dalmatian, and he cannot sit on you. And nice. It's like as soon as he decides, hi, I want your attention, there's nothing stopping him. He will bowl you over. He will crawl up in your lap. He will roll all over you. He will headbutt your leg. He wants your attention, and you need to pay the fuck attention, lady.
Oh, jeez.
And then if you don't, he starts grumbling and groaning and bitching at you. Because he's talkative, and so you'll just hear, and you're like, dude, shut up.
Dark Mika says he could sit on most people. You are just a frail old lady.
No, he's fat. He could not to body shame my Dalmatian, but he couldn't sit on most. Like, he tries to sit on David, and David's not, I mean, he's scrawny, but he's not frail. And like, he's like, God, don't say you're killing me. But oh, now man. He lets, yeah, for a dog, 60 pounds is too fat to sit on your lap. Donovan is smaller because Duncan and Donovan are not full-blooded Dalmatians. They're just half. And so they look like regular Dalmatians, except that they're kind of small. And they only weigh about 30 pounds. I think last time we got them away, it was like 28 and 29. Donovan's fat. you could pull up his fur and make 3 more dogs out of it.
God.
Just got rolls. But Donovan, now he will sit on David's lap constantly. He won't have it any other way. Like, there is nowhere else in the house for him. That's David's problem.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we should probably get to reviews.
Probably should.
You think so?
Maybe. Did Aki come in to do hers?
Yeah, we're going to get her in now. Looks like she has joined. Aki, how are you doing today?
I'm alive. My toe hurts. But
why does your toe hurt?
Because I had surgery on my toe yesterday to remove an ingrown toenail, and it did not get numbed completely.
Oh.
Do you know what I tell my kids when they complain something hurts?
That you can smash it into tiny pieces and then it'll hurt more?
No. They can go get me a kitchen knife and I'll cut it off and then they won't feel it no more and it won't hurt.
Yeah. What I've decided is I've had 2 surgeries on both big toes for the same fucking problem in my life. If it happens again, I'm just going to have it amputated. Because if they numb it for amputation, it'll be fucking numb, and I won't fucking feel it. I felt every time we had the goddamn surgery.
You want bad news, though? Like, when it comes to amputation and having shit removed, you have phantom pain still.
Yeah.
So, like, your brain believes it's still there, and you still feel it.
Okay. Well,
because I actually had that surgery. I had that with my gallbladder. Like, for years after I had my gallbladder, I mean, we even jokingly call it the ghost of gallbladder's past. Like, I get short breath. Even where it was gets swollen. And there's nothing wrong. It's just that that's where my gallbladder was, and my body remembers it being pissed off.
I've never had any gallbladder pains with mine out.
Oh, my God. I do. Before, you gotta remember though, like, mine was really bad, and I was septic, and I damn near died, and it was all kinds of bullshit. Like, the worst pain that I had before they took mine out was, like, it felt like somebody had wrapped razor wire around my chest, and whenever I'd breathe,
I was gonna point that one out, too, after she was done.
Yeah, I can't wait that long.
After it fell out, I knew what was happening. But, like, you would breathe, and it would feel like somebody was just pulling that razor wire tighter. And I will still have that sometimes. And I'm like, I don't even have a gallbladder anymore. Fuck off.
I don't even know where that is in the body, and I still have mine, so.
It's under your right boob.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like that should be something important.
Kind of. You can live without it, though.
Yeah, that's obviously. An asshole.
Yeah.
No, that would be the sphincter.
Womp womp. Anyway, we got to get to reviews. We are going long on this episode already, and we still have 6 games to talk about. So, you ready to get going?
Yes.
Aki, you ready?
Sure, fuck it, why not?
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Greedfall, developed by Spiders, published by Focus Home Interactive, released September 9th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $49.99. Engage in a core role-playing experience and forge the destiny of a new world seeping with magic and filled with riches, lost secrets, and fantastic creatures. With diplomacy, deception, and force, become part of a living, evolving world, influence its course, and shape your story. Dark Mika, tell us about Greedfall.
Well, it's an open world RPG where you play as someone just named Dee Sardé. You can choose your sex for that character. The name stays the same. You don't get to input a first name or anything. That's just who they are. You and your cousin are traveling to a new world called Tir Fridi, and I don't know how to spell that because in the game there's like 3 or 4 different spellings of it. People will talk and you have subtitles on and it's fucking spelled differently constantly. I'm like, I don't even know how to fucking spell this bitch. But anyways, you go over there, because there's some sort of plague that's called the Malachor that's hit your home, and you're hoping that this new land will have the cure because the two groups that you have alliances with have both brought you news that they think that they can cure it on this island. One group is a bunch of alchemists who are assholes, and the other group is a bunch of really religious fanatics who are assholes. And your group's just a bunch of merchants who can be assholes, but aren't always assholes. So you go there with your cousin, who's going to become the governor, basically just the top dog over there. And just as a reminder, you are the main character, so I'll let you figure out how worthless he is. And you're brought in as a legate, I believe is what it's called, which is just a dumbass name for a diplomat. So basically you have to make everyone get along, your group, the two alliance people and the natives. So you have to keep everyone from killing each other, which is fantastic. So you're dealing with groups that are assholes, you're dealing with the leaders who are assholes, and you're trying to keep everyone from killing each other like a bunch of assholes. It's great. Just great. Well, and in this game, you can start off as one of three major classes. I only know the name of two of them. I'm not sure on the name of the third. The first two are mage and warrior. The other is either an alchemist or a strategist. I don't remember what it's called. I don't really care. I personally chose mage, but that doesn't really matter, and I'll explain that here in a second. As you level up, you get skill points that you can use to unlock further upgrades for your abilities or unlock completely new upgrades. And that's from any of the three trees, the warrior, the mage, or the whatever the fuck the third one is. You also get attribute points and talent points, which I think is for every 3 levels and every 4 levels, respectively. Which, the attribute points upgrade things like your charisma, which is kind of like in D&D and stuff. You can convince people to do shit. Or intuition lets you sneak around, lets you figure out when people are full of dog shit. Lock picking, things like that. And
I gotta say, charisma is, I didn't invest anything in charisma because I'm a filthy cheater, and every time I would talk to someone and realize that they have a charisma check, I would save and then try it. And if I failed, I would just reload and do it again.
See, my first instinction in every game is to max that bitch out and then do the exact same thing you did. Because even with it maxed, not every last one of them is 100%. Most of them are, but not all of them.
I got a lot of 50s and 25s, and I've done really good so far. I only missed one.
All of them I've seen so far, and I've had 3 for a good chunk of the game, because that was the first thing I did, have been 100 or 75, and only a couple have been 75. I've done them all, because like you, I'm a filthy, cheating bitch.
You people disgust me.
Good.
Live with your consequences.
No. Fuck consequences. I'm perfect. No. The last thing you upgrade is things like strength, agility, accuracy, which all just allow you to use better versions of equipments. For strength, it would be like bashing weapons, agility, swords, accuracy, guns, endurance, better armors, etc., etc. And since you can level each one of these up however you want, I made mage, and in my infinite wisdom, I've nearly maxed out the warrior tree while barely touching the mage tree whatsoever. I have nothing in endurance, so I can't wear any armor, so I'm a squishy motherfucker. I can use every weapon known to man, and I choose a one-handed axe or one-handed hammer, whichever I have on me. And all of my abilities are things like lockpicking, charisma, you know, thief shit. So that is my character. I'm a squishy mage who can barely use magic and is a little fucking thief.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
The beauty of role-playing games. You could do whatever you want.
I know, right? It was great. Combat is fairly basic. You have strong attacks, which are Y, and basic normal attacks that are X. That's about all there is. It does have one nice little thing. If you've ever played Dragon Age Inquisition, it has that little ability where it can effectively pause the game to bring up a context menu so you can select whatever ability you want to use. I don't actually know what that's called, but it has one of those. And actually, I didn't find it very useful in Dragon Age, but I found it really useful in this, since you're only controlling your own character, not the other characters that you party with. So very useful to me. I really liked all the voice acting. The voice acting was fantastic. Everyone's voices was great, and the only people I hated were people who were very clearly meant to be cunts and hated as much as humanly possible. There are so many quests in the game as well, from side quests to main quests. I put, 30-something hours into the game.
Damn.
Without touching the first main quest when you got to Tier 4D.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is impressive to go 30 hours without touching the main. That's Skyrim levels of being able to avoid the story.
Yeah, what's really bad is I just finally decided to do it because I was getting a little bored doing what I was doing. Because in Tier 4D, and this is something that I both like and hate at the same time. In Tier 4D, you don't know the place. You just landed there. Even though the two places you have alliance with have been there for 15 fucking years, no asshole on the entire fucking place has decided to make a fucking map. So you have to go into all these places, nothing on the map. You search around, the map slowly opens up. Then you find different ways out from the section of the map you're on, and when you go to each one, it'll suddenly show up a new area you can go to on the big major map. Most of the time. Not always. I don't like that. It drives me nuts. So I was just going through that, doing all the side quests that I kept finding and just trying to open up all these places. I still hadn't gone to all of them. I still have like 3 or 4 of them I haven't gone to yet. Yeah, and it's been over 50 hours that I've been playing now, and I've still barely touched the main campaign.
That's insane.
There is a lot to see and a lot to do. It's great, but you also have to fucking find it all, which is irritating. Another issue I had with it is, whilst the voice acting is really good and the character models are gorgeous to look at, unless you're the bitch boy Desant, which I think is hideous. But that's personal opinion. Only the girl is cute. But Shocker from The Lesbian, right?
Yeah.
The characters look great, especially when you're making them. The moment they start talking, though, no, it's fucking creepy. Their mouths and their lips move very weirdly. It doesn't look right in any way, and it's very creepy looking. Lots of people have actually brought this up. And they were all like, oh, it's the lips. I'm like, no, it's the entire mouth. Their mouth seems to grow like almost twice as wide when they talk. It's really creepy to me. I don't like it. And the last part, which is just really nitpicky that I didn't like, was love scenes. You have four romanceable characters in it. Two bisexual, two straight. So, hey, you can knock boots with three individuals in your playthrough, and then you have to play through again to get the achievement for the fourth one. So, yay! devs, please, to all devs out there, when you're making a love-making scene, either make it or fucking don't. I'm tired of seeing grown-ass adults dry-humping each other, okay? It's creepy. Stop it! Just stop it. I romanced one of the characters because I did it almost immediately. I was like, oh, well, that was fast. Fucking Desant kissed down his chest that was fully covered with like three chunks of armor. Like, this looks so fucking creepy. Quit it.
Wow.
It's a very nitpicky thing, but I fucking hate that because to me, it's like, the devs are thinking about the children when they're doing this. They're like,
it's
oh, we don't want to make
an M-rated game. Give us nudity. Just don't puss out with it.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm always, every time I see something like this, I'm thinking, they're thinking of the children. And right there is the problem. Stop thinking about children when you're making sex scenes. Because they're
trying
I did that on purpose. Like, they don't want it to be too obvious, but it's like, it's an adult game. It's a love-making scene. If you're worried about children seeing it, don't put it in there. But stop with the dry humping. It's so creepy. I don't want to date, like, a 20-something in a decade down the line, and her grew up playing this shit and thinking dry humping's normal. It's not. I don't want that. It's creepy. Stop it.
It's only normal when you're a teenager.
I don't know if it's even particularly normal then.
Okay, I didn't think it was normal then either. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm weird.
I mean, granted,
when you're starting out dating, I mean, not everyone goes all the way 18, right away.
And about 3 months in, we were like, yeah, this sucks. Take the clothes off.
Yeah, exactly. But you start off, I mean, everyone starts off dry humping.
I started off quick, apparently. Shit.
I mean, I don't remember dry humping, but I remember some heavy petting, but not necessarily dry humping.
I remembered a lot of heavy, but anyways,
speaking of dicks.
Yes, I don't know if any of the characters have any, and that's sad, so sad. But, so the game overall, I think, is great. You have so much to fucking explore. The voice acting's great, even if the character models make it weird when they're talking. Just the biggest issue is that fucking map to me. Like, it's great that, and it makes sense that you have to go out and find all these things, but it also doesn't make sense because these fuckers have been here for 15 fucking years. You'd think they'd have a goddamn map made, at least of their own fucking areas, and your area, who they trade with constantly.
Yeah. Well, overall, $50 on Greedfall. What do you think of it?
Oh, hell yes. I can't recommend this enough. I love this. Granted, I'm also a big RPG fan. I fucking love it. It's fantastic. If you like RPGs, you can't really go wrong with this. I love it.
I agree. I've put about 15 hours into it so far. I am absolutely loving my time with this game. It's easily one of the best ones Spiders has done so far. They've been hit or miss in the past. I think this one's definitely a hit.
All I know is Soria is love, and Soria is life. And for those of you who don't know who that is, it's the very, very cute native girl that you can romance that I am still working on.
You'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah, it takes forever, though. Oh, I can't wait. She's so cute.
Oh, man. Well, Dark Mika, it is always a pleasure having you on here chatting about the games. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Soria is life. Soria is love.
Beautiful.
And No more fucking dry humping, goddammit.
Oh, man. All right. You have yourself a wonderful night, Dark Mika.
Yep, yep. You too. I'd like to play more of this.
All right. Next game to talk about is called The Walking Dead, the Telltale Definitive Series. Code provided for free from Skybound Games for the purpose of this review. I know we do that with pretty much every game, but they want us to specify on this one. So, okay, yep. Code provided for free from Skybound Games for the purpose of this review. Developed and published by Skybound Games, released September 10th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $49.99. The Walking Dead, the Telltale Definitive Series contains all four seasons, 400 days, and The Walking Dead Michonne, which includes over 50 hours of gameplay across 23 unique episodes, with graphical enhancements, behind-the-scenes bonus features, and faithful recreations of classic menus. This is the definitive way to play Clementine's journey and find out how her story ends. Cole, was this a worthwhile upgrade?
Yes, in some ways, and not so much in others.
Explain.
I shall. It's almost like that's what my job is. it seems a little weird to have a definitive edition of The Walking Dead quite so early. We just got the end of season 4 a few months back. And for there to be a definitive edition in the same console generation as all four seasons of the game in the first place does feel a little weird.
Yeah.
That said, I don't even remember what year the first one came out. I do know it was a long ass time ago. I remember I played it on the 360 and the One. And yet somehow going back to it, there were moments where it was still like super fresh. And I was like, I didn't remember this, or I didn't remember this scene. And so there were still somehow surprises, even though I'd already played it twice. That was the beauty of that time gap. Yeah. That season 3 and season 4 of the game and the Michonne miniseries being tucked into the Definitive Edition 2, where I've played them more recently, I didn't have that nostalgia hit with it. And also, I had played them on the Xbox One. And so I was like, okay, but why did we need this? So there was certainly more appreciation for the two earlier seasons and 400 days being included rather than the more recent games. But it does make sense if you are going to do the earlier two to just put all of it there.
Yeah.
So I can see why they did it. And also at the same time while playing, I was like, this wasn't particularly necessary yet. but I do think there were problems with the original games being delisted and because of Telltale's death and subsequent resurrection. And there's a lot of like up in the airness over whether those are ever even available half the time now. It is nice to know that for people who missed out on them, no matter what, this definitive edition is going to be here because yeah, it's from Skybound. Yeah, it has
everything.
Yeah. So, you know, no matter what happens to or because of Telltale, at least the collection is safe and somebody who has previously missed out on it can go back and have it all and experience the entire story. So I can appreciate it from that point of view. One of the things that I was hoping for the most with the definitive edition was some improvements to the graphics in a way, given the art style of The Walking Dead. It's meant to look like a comic book, and it sort of just is what it is. There's not huge graphical jumps, even between the 360 and the One versions. So I wasn't expecting anything overwhelming in that regard, but I was hoping that there was some more performance-related improvements, especially Season 1, Season 2, and Season 3 in particular had a lot of weird graphical glitches. There were frame drops. I remember playing season 3 and having half of the screen just black out and glitch out in a couple of different episodes. And I remember bringing that up in my review of those at the time. Some of the bigger issues, like the glitching out in Season 3, those were fixed. And that's great.
Yeah.
But they were also fixed in the standalones. So I was fully expecting them not to fuck that up. But Season 1 and Season 2 in particular still struggled a lot with performance. And it's kind of an odd thing because they are the older iterations, even you know, remastered and updated or what have you. You'd expect them to just run a little smoother. This may be one of those I'm playing on an S issues. It's hard to tell. But for the sake of clarity, I am on an S. But I did have the game installed to a solid state drive.
Yeah.
And that typically tends to help in the performance department just a smidge. And I did still have frame rate drops. Sometimes, particularly, I don't want to spoil anything for the like three people that haven't played these games. But there's a sequence on a dairy farm, and it's raining, and there's walkers everywhere. There's a lot of characters on screen. There's a lot of action. That scene in particular was most affected by frame rate drops. To the point that D has been watching me play. D likes The Walking Dead, but he doesn't like to play The Walking Dead because he doesn't want to be responsible for the decisions. So he likes to watch me play so that he gets the story. And so he's been watching me play through them. And even he was like, I can't keep up with what's going on because it just keeps freezing.
Damn.
And so I was having to explain to him. But again, I don't have any way to know if that's just a 1S or if that's an overall issue. One other hitch that I had, and this one was more an annoyance than anything, but I play on a TV with HDR enabled. And when I would go in, the game at its default was set to a brightness of 5 with a new setting called graphic black. Now, if you're not familiar with art, comic book art in particular, the effect of this is meant to make it look like it's got an ink wash in the darker areas. It just makes everything look a little more gritty and kind of grimy and comic bookish.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, though, I thought that the graphic black setting made everything look fucking dark and you lost a whole lot of detail to the game. Nah. So I didn't particularly care for that setting. Double that up with the brightness being set to 5 and everything was washed out. So I had the double issue of everything is super washed out from the brightness while the blacks are super black from the graphic black. And it was such a heavy contrast that it just made it difficult to even look at. So I go into the settings and you can adjust these, but no matter what I did, it wouldn't fucking save 90% of the time. It would take me 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 tries just to get it to hold those settings. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why.
That's weird.
If I went in and changed them both at the same time and then pressed apply and backed out, I would get back to the screen and it would be like I hadn't changed anything.
That's very weird.
The way that I ended up having to do it was I could go into the setting and then turn off graphic black, apply while I had that highlighted, back out. Maybe 1 out of 3 times that would work. Once I had that set, then I could go back in after maybe 5 or 10 minutes and set down the brightness. And that might stick. It was just very hit or miss.
On the bright side, that sounds like something that could be patched.
Yes, but it is an annoyance at the same time. And it is worth mentioning that it makes the game hard to see. If you're on an HDR screen and everything is washed the fuck out and also super black at the same time, you're just sitting there going, I can't see anything. Don't yell at me and turn my screen red and say I died when it wasn't my fault that the zombie was washed the fuck out. Once I got it fixed, however, and whenever it would straighten up and save the settings, everything was fine and the game looked gorgeous. But it just really, really fought with me there for a long time.
Man.
Yeah. Beyond that, though, it was super cool to go back and relive some of these stories. And I cannot believe that my lame ass still cried over the one hardcore scene from the season one. I sat there and I was like, I know it's coming. I've reached a point in my life where I crack jokes about it. So I know I'm okay with it. Made the decision, put the controller down. Well, tears everywhere. Terrible. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. But that speaks to good storytelling.
Very true.
That if you know shit like that's going to happen, you know it. You've had years to adjust to it. You joke about it, and then still faced with it, it still grabs you emotionally. That's the kind of good storytelling that we all fell in love with The Walking Dead for in the first place.
Yeah. One other negative, they brought it up in chat. We have to talk about it, the achievement list.
Yeah.
The original Telltale Collection that didn't have the final season had, what, 4,000 achievement points?
Yes. I actually didn't have that version either.
This one only has 1,000.
Yes, there's which is extra insult to injury. When you played the standalone, and I'm assuming also in the collection that I didn't have, but when you played them standalone, most of the times up until season 3 and 4, I think it was, 1 and 2 kind of forced you to replay and make different decisions to get all the achievements.
Really? I thought 1 and 2, it was just complete the... I thought Wolf Among Us was like the only one that had missables.
No, I'm pretty sure that there were decisions that you had to make twice. Not overwhelming amount, usually just like 1 or 2 per episode. But there were things that
the original releases were just finish the chapters, and that's it.
I don't think so.
Dark Mika, 1 didn't, 2 did, so...
Okay.
Anyway, the achievements are an issue. Right.
The achievements are just for completing each episode. And that's pretty disappointing. Yeah. There's 23 episodes, 23 achievements. Complete an episode, pop an achievement. 1,000 gamer score is it. You're not gonna, roll up in here. I think it's bonus disappointment because with 400 days, with the Michonne collection, if you played them all individually, you probably had, I want to say it's somewhere around 4,700 gamer score out of all of it.
Something like that.
Because the Michonne collection was only worth 400, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, or was it a whole 1,000?
I don't know. Maybe 400 days was worth 4, whatever.
That might have been it. But anyway, it was under 6,000. Yeah. but it's kind of insulting for achievement fans to be like, okay, well, plunk down all the money for all of them again and only get 1,000.
Yeah, and that's a lot of play time just to get 1,000 achievements again after, yeah. I guess it seems this is something that's good for newcomers to the series, but people who've already played it, maybe not so much, but I'll ask you, $50, what's your verdict?
I would say if you've already got them all standalone, it's really hard to be like, yeah, go plunk down $50 for this. But if you missed out on the standalones, or if you just really love the series and you really want that definitive edition, especially given the fact that they added commentary, developer commentary, and some really cool concept art and stuff, if you're, collector whore and you want that kind of stuff, which I did, I was thrilled with it all. Then, yeah, it's an absolute buy it. It just go into it knowing that it's got some quirks that need patched.
Cool. Next game to talk about is called Bus Simulator, developed by Still Alive Studios, published by Astragon Entertainment. Released September 17th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99. Experience the job of a bus driver in a vast and freely drivable urban area. Drive original licensed city buses from the great brands Mercedes-Benz, MAN, Iveco Bus. Transport your passengers safely and punctually, either solo in single-player mode or in multiplayer. Cole, tell us about Bus Simulator.
Man, I don't understand why there's such an influx of blue-collar job simulators lately. My husband loves this shit, though. And so here I am reviewing it because he wanted it. But I will say, I played it myself as well, and I was genuinely impressed. I don't like to drive, for starters. I don't even know how to drive. I never had a license. Putting me on a road is asking for trouble.
Oh, Lord.
But I managed, and I did okay enough. And part of that is because the game is, for a simulator, it's surprisingly relaxed. It has two modes. So you can choose to play simplified, which is like, you don't get tickets and you don't have red lights to contend with, and you have a button that does speed control for you.
Oh, geez.
So basically all you have to be concerned with is like pull in, park, open the door, close the door, turn on your turn signal, get the fuck out to the next station. Now, if you want to be a nutsack like D and like go hardcore simulator, you can turn that on. And then you've got to be concerned with like all the nitty gritty details, like don't drive with your headlights off. Whereas I just turned mine on and didn't care whether it was the middle of the day, whether it was raining. I didn't dim it for passersby. Fuck you guys. Get out of my way. Beep, beep.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm genuinely surprised that this game let me fuck around with it quite so severely. Oh my goodness, I need to stop talking for a moment.
You do, because No Time for Games just dropped 500 biddies with 50 bonus biddies. You know what that means. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed, George. Thank you so much.
Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes.
So good. So, back to Bus Simulator. In addition to having basically the difficulty settings, you can also choose whether you're going to play in a sandbox mode, where just like it turns you loose to do whatever the fuck you want with your garage, and you get to pick a name for your bus garage and like plan all your routes out and everything. For the sake of honesty, I named mine Beep Beep Express.
Oh, jeez.
And David was thoroughly amused by this. Like, every time he walked by and saw the screen, he'd just shake his head and be like, I don't know what's wrong with you. And then I would blow the horn and go, beep, beep.
Oh, geez.
Because you could do that because I was playing on bitch mode. I could get away with it. So you have the sandbox mode. You can play however you want. It's a little more lenient. If you want that structure and challenge, though, you can play the actual campaign, which will give you missions with a series of varied objectives to play with. It'll be something simple like, usually there's like 5 or 7 objectives. And it'll be like, drive your route at night, hire somebody else to drive your route, plan a new route, make your route bigger, and, pretty mundane things to start off with, and then they gradually get more and more complicated as you move through the mission levels. In addition to having to drive, Thank goodness it lets you decide how often this shit happened to. But there were other variables that could affect your route. Like, sometimes you would have to leave the cockpit to go yell at people for having their music up too loud.
Bastards.
Sometimes you would have to, which was a neat mechanic that you don't typically see in a game. You had to make adjustments for handicapped passengers.
Hmm.
You had to let out a ramp and so that they could get in, and you had to pull the ramp back. And yeah, incredibly impressive to, like, the first time I rolled up and there was literally a little NPC sitting there chilling in his wheelchair just waiting for me to let the ramp out. And I'm like, oh, look at you! Somebody thought about that, and that's uncommon.
That's pretty
cool. And it was neat to see. Yeah, there was just somebody gave it a little bit of thought. And I'm cool with that. Now, for all the progress in having a disabled NPC, there's one issue I had when it comes to creating your character. You don't ever see your fucking character unless you, like, leave the bus and go wandering around the town, which you can totally do.
That's cool, too.
But the whole point is, like, drive the bus.
Yeah, obviously.
So when you're driving the bus, you don't see yourself. But you can customize your character. You choose your uniform, you choose your hair color, you choose your skin color. There were 10 options for skin color, and I thought, okay, that's a pretty good start. That's not bad. You can choose male or female, and you can choose all the different colors of the rainbow for your uniform. So 10 decent color palette for skin. And then I realized that 9 of those are white, one is a muted brown. Not even brown, like white but with a tan. And I was like, okay, that
need
was
some more diversity.
Yeah, you were so close. You did so good. And then you dropped the ball somewhere. Such an odd thing to mess up after getting so much else right. You know, they could work on that. One other complaint I had is that all the measurements in the game are in metric and the money is in euros.
Now, European game, I guess I'll do that.
Yeah, but generally with these, we play a lot of these simulator games. Usually there's an option in the menu to change it.
Yeah.
Not this time, and I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing when I'm going so many kilometers per hour. So thank God for that speed monitoring that just does it for you, because I don't know. I'm like, 94 looks good. I'm a speed racer in my bus. But a lot of cool customization options, minus the skin tones. But you can paint your bus. As you level up, you can you unlock different wraps and decorations for your bus. You can change your interior color. You can change your exterior colors. Yeah, put different wraps on. You can even put ad space on your bus and run ads and make extra money from them that way.
Nice.
And so the whole point is, like, make as much as you can. And you know, grow your business. And so that's another extra way you can help. I found myself running ads to pay for my bus driver so that I didn't have to run the routes.
Nice. Well, speaking of paying for things, $40, is it worth paying for Bus Simulator?
I'm gonna say yes with a very recommended try it. There are some things that could be smoothed out, obviously. There's a few minor nitpicks that I'd like to see addressed. But I did also have the problem with the game crashing quite a bit. And that's basically what's stopping it from a buy it, is that it was really consistent with crashing. I had one instance where I was trying to finish a route, and D kept making fun of me. He's like, well, duh, you have to turn the engine on. And I'm like, no, but the engine is on and the bus does not go. Nothing is working. And then within like a second, it just went, and everything was on the dashboard. And I was like, well, fuck you.
So stability issues.
Yeah. And even when he played, he had 3 or 4 three or four crashes. But now he was playing for on the harder simulation. And so I would like to be like, it was just because I was dicking around. but it was regardless of how we were playing. It was still crashing quite a bit. So minor nitpicks, fix some stability. And but yeah, it would be a buy it. Until then, I do give it a try. I had far more fun than I expected.
Nice. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Rue Pocket, developed and published by Kreax Studios, released September 18th on Steam for $14.99 with a 20% launch discount. So if you're interested in the game, check it out quick. Rue Pocket, The Adventures of Captain Frank is an atmospheric platformer with action, adventure, and RPG elements. Actuate every thruster individually to perfection and complete the space marathon. Cole, what is Rue Pocket?
This game is so ridiculous. So
the mark of a good game when you start off with that.
Right, though? It's physics-based. I'm trying to think of, like, literally anything else I could compare it to. And I don't have anything. Like, I know I've played games like this, but I couldn't think of one that was similar enough to use as a reference. But your whole premise is that Captain Frank and Dr. Eberhardt are on the cusp of losing their business, and you need to fly a space marathon to prove that their rockets are worth the money. So with each marathon that you complete, each race that you go through, depending on how well you do, the value of your rocket goes up. And then you can save their business. Bad news, though, it's probably not going to go up a whole lot each time. Because this is physics-based, you don't really have control of the rocket. The rocket goes where the rocket fucking wants, and you're mashing four buttons hoping to guide it in a general direction. There are two thrusters on the bottom of the rocket, one on the top. You'll use A and F are the two bottom ones, and then D does the one at the top. And then you'll hit space to, you have landing arms that you can use that if you're lucky, you can kind of make yourself somersault around to do some smaller movements without having to go full-fledged into the sky for them. Either I'm incredibly bad at controlling these games, which is entirely possible. And I want to point out, I don't play games on Steam much besides when we get them to review that and my computer can actually handle it.
Yeah.
And playing on a keyboard is not good for my arthritis. That's why I don't play on Steam a whole lot. If the game had controller support, I would have enjoyed it a whole lot more. I tried both my Elite controller and a 360 controller with it, and I couldn't get either one to work with it.
No.
So I was stuck using the keyboard. And my wrists fucking hurt. But I was so determined to get from platform A to platform B, despite the obstacles in between, just by thrusting these little rinky-dink rocket ships. Like, you don't understand that these rocket ships look like they're made out of like flattened pop cans and cardboard these guys drug out of the trash. These are not professional rocket ships. And so they don't take much of a beating. So every time you bump into something or you land kind of hard, that takes away your health. The game is timing you for how long it takes you to get from the platform where you start to the landing platforms. And basically, it's deceptively difficult. Like, looking at it, watching the trailers for this game, I was like, oh, I got this. I can play this. This is easy. What is this? And then I'm playing it, and, like, I am crashing into everything. It tells me don't somersault, and I'm like, watch me hit space and walk myself over to the platform because that's the best I can do. I did everything it told me not to. And then I would finish and I'd have just a tiny little sliver of health left. And I'd like my rocket ship would be on fire. And the little cartoon dude, Captain Frank, inside, he's struggling. And he's just like trying to keep his cool with the flames everywhere. And it was really sad to see. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck it. That's as good as it's going to get. Let's go to the next one. Burn, baby. And then it would come up.
I was going to say, using the ASDF to control the thrusters reminds me of Quop. Do you know that game?
I don't. You know what's deceptive, too, is that on the Steam page, it says, like, it shows a little icon of a ship, and it says ASD and F under each of the thrusters, but that's not how it actually plays. Like, ASD and F are your controls, yeah, but S didn't actually work with anything, and the ship only had two on the bottom and one on the top. So
I'm sure as you go through the game, it'll eventually progress to more thrusters.
There were two other ships, and it lets you choose from the start which one you use, and so they're all the same. If there were other ones, I didn't see them.
I'm just telling you, you need to try Quop.
Do I need to try Quop?
Yes.
I mean, I failed miserably at Root Pocket.
No, you're going to fail miserably at Quop, too. Everyone fails miserably.
Can I just point out one funny thing?
Sure.
That I don't think the devs are aware of. I don't know if it happened after the recent update or if it was like this before, but I noticed when I've had it up, I was playing it windowed because my poor PC. And I was playing it windowed and I looked up in the top corner and I noticed that the game's name is Root Pocket, but in the window it said Root Pecket.
I got a
giggle out of that. Like, I don't know why, but I find that typo so incredibly funny.
Oh, Lord. Well,
I was horribly giggly about it.
Nice. Giggles are always good.
Yes.
But $15 on Root Pocket, what do you think of it?
There are a lot of planets to explore. There's a lot of levels to go through. It's a great concept, but it really, at a $15 price point, I would expect it to have controller support. And I think it would be far more manageable game for a more general audience, i.e. us disabled folks, if it had controller support.
Yeah, maybe map all the buttons to the triggers, maybe?
Yeah, literally, controller rebinding is a beautiful thing. Yeah. And everything should have it. just because it can be exhausting if you've got hand problems to hold your hands on those four homebrew keys permanently.
Yeah.
It is problematic.
Well,
but
fix
beyond
your
that,
fingers, obviously.
I know. I mean, curse these crooked bastards. But
just straighten them out. What are you doing? Put
hit
like popsicle sticks on each side and tape it. That's how it works, right?
Totally.
That's how you fix arthritis.
But I mean, the gameplay was there and it was fun. So for that, I'm going to give it a solid try. I definitely think it's worth the time. It's worth looking into. If you enjoy those kind of physics games, this is definitely up your alley. Just go into it knowing that your wrist is going to hurt and you're going to be there a while.
Works for me. Next game to talk about is called We Were Here, developed and published by Total Mayhem Games. It released September 16th on Xbox One for $4.99 and is part of Xbox Games with Gold for the month. Lost in a frozen wasteland and split up from your partner inside an abandoned castle, the only possession you have left is a walkie-talkie with a familiar voice on the other end. Can the two of you find your way out in time? Cole, tell us about We Were Here.
It's basically an escape room.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of escape rooms. And you don't have to leave your house to go to them, which makes it fun. You can play this escape room in your underwear.
Yay! And I did.
The game plays as a first-person co-op puzzle game. And it's you're not playing it solo. There's no way whatsoever. You immediately either have to invite somebody or find a random.
Yeah.
You cannot do this alone. The reason for that is because the game is broken up into two segments. So So one player plays as the explorer and the other plays as the librarian. The librarian literally has all the answers to everything.
And every the explorer puzzle, has to do everything.
And the explorer works their fingers to the bone. And of course, Carnage says two Xboxes, two controllers. That takes away the fun of it, though.
Yeah, that's achievement whores find a way, as he says.
And here's the thing with it. We're just going to go ahead and get the elephant out of the room right now. You can't be in party chat in this game.
Yeah, it doesn't let you.
It will not let you. You cannot even start it if you are in party chat. It just tells you to fuck off. As we learned the hard way.
Yes.
Because the game wants you to use the walkie-talkie to communicate, and you have to communicate, because as we said, one person has to solve the puzzles while the other one has the solutions. So you need to be able to talk to your partner to know what the fuck you need to be doing.
And in traditional walkie-talkie sense, you have to push a button to talk, and you can't talk at the same time.
Right. We were testing all that shit out and finding out the hard way. Carnage says you can use a thing called a telephone or Skype. I know some people were using Discord to get around it. Look, that's though, cheating. I really play recommend it the right way. That you play it. It adds an element to it. I just felt way more immersed in it. I get that people are going to want to knock this out in an hour and a half, 2 hours, and get the gamer score really quick. Fine. But I recommend at least one of your playthroughs doing it legitimately. Aki says that we confirmed that you're a filthy cheater. Even with a guide, we were struggling doing it legitimately.
This is a very vague game.
Yeah, there is not any way, as far as like explanation goes, you're meant to just be stuck in these rooms and start sleuthing out whatever tiny little differences there are, what similarities there are, until you can come up with the worst part of it. At the time, the very first puzzle, like, we're sitting there looking around. And I am going to play it with you, Aki. Jeez. I've still got to complete it. I didn't get the completion. So, I got to play as the librarian. But we were sitting there in the first room, and like, we couldn't even determine what the actual puzzle was. I kept telling Joe, all I have is a door. There's some chicken scratch on the wall, but there's a door, and that's that. And I was like, okay, it took forever for us to actually realize that the chicken scratch on the wall were pushable and were actual like buttons for the lock. And I felt like a total idiot. But once I got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, touch everything, then yeah, it became a lot easier to figure out what the quest actually was for each room. The harder part was explaining things in ways that Joe could understand because I speak like a redneck.
Like, or trying to explain things to you because a lot of it made no sense on my end.
Yeah, especially because you were basically working without any context.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to provide the context, but I didn't know what information you had that I could give context to. So yeah, then I
wasn't following a guide. Like, you pulled up a video guide once or twice to try and help us out on things we couldn't figure out.
The maze was fucking us.
Yeah, the maze just destroyed us. And I couldn't figure out where you were, how to explain where you were going. I thought I knew where you were at one point. And I'm like, all right, we'll exit the room and head right. And that's the way you got to go. And you're like, there is no right. It's only a left. And I don't know where the fuck you are.
Every time we thought we were on the right path with that maze, it would fuck us in the ass and we would not be in the right path again.
Yeah, and you tried just following a guide exactly and it wasn't working.
Yeah, it was really rough. And then I was trying to use the guide. I had a guide set up, but for the sake of the maze, but because we were required to do the in-game VOIP, I couldn't hear. I don't have speakers on my computer and I can't wear two headphones at once. So I couldn't actually hear the video that we were trying to use. I could just see it. and I was just getting even more lost. That said, I thought it was a lot of fun to play like that. Like, I didn't mind that we were getting lost. It was just more of a time constraint than anything is what was setting us off. But the whole concept of, like, you know, it, trying to explain that walking into a room and being like, okay, there's a picture of an ostrich with a skull and a snail on its back. And that sounded so weird coming out of my mouth. But with Joe asking the right questions, it came together and it was like, okay, we're popping through these rooms in record time. I will say, I felt like the biggest idiot in that one room, the hallway right before the maze. Like, I would let up the first gate and the second gate would come down and I couldn't get out. And I was too stupid to realize that I was supposed to stand under the gate, hit the lever on the other side, and then move. Like, it just didn't seem like a logical way to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
And sometimes it did fall into that trap. Like, it didn't matter what the logical answer was. It didn't seem logical.
Yeah, which is my major gripe with the game, is things felt too vague and nothing really made sense a lot of times. Like, I love the concept of the game. I just thought the execution was lacking a bit. And I'm hoping the sequel, which is coming out really soon, fixes a lot of that. And we have a lot more enjoyable time with that one. But $5 on this, what do you think?
I gave it a buy it. I thought it was really cool. I think if you've got the time to sit and commit, I do definitely think everybody should play it at least once. Excuse me, legitimately with a friend. Given that it's Games with Gold, you have no excuse to find somebody else to say, hey, come play this with me. Yeah. Literally anybody can get it.
I think when I played, there were like 1,700 people playing online at once.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And
another gripe I had, the server list was broken for me. Like, I would load up the page and it was just blank. I would move up and down. I would occasionally see like one or two names on the page, but for the most part, it was completely broken for me. And I wouldn't be able to join a game unless I just did a random join or was invited.
I didn't think to check that because I was hosting every time I played. Yeah. And so it didn't like register to me that that could be a problem. So I'm glad you checked
that. I don't know if the
out.
Server list was just funky when I checked it or if it's glitched and needs a patch or something, but it's something worth noting. But personally, at $5, I give it a fuck it. Why not? It's cheap enough. Yeah. Might as well buy it. It's part of Games with Gold. So if you have gold, you own it anyways. So you might as well just play it and try it. And I'm looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to We Were Here Too, and there's also a third called We Were Here Together.
I think that's coming out on Steam.
I think it came out February of this year. I think it's already out. So, with any luck, it won't be too far behind either.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But a final game to talk about tonight is called Rebound Dodgeball Evolved, developed and published by Hexterion, released September 20th on Xbox One for $14.99. Rebound is a fast, competitive, multiplayer, sci-fi themed dodgeball game. The top-down camera and twin-stick shooter controls makes it easy to pick up and play. However, the fast-paced nature of the game gives it a high skill ceiling. Players can team up and play against each other, both online and off, with any combination of maps, mutators, and game modes. Cole, I've had my eye on this one. Tell me it's good.
It's definitely better than the previous dodgeball game that I played. At least this one is legitimately dodgeball.
Yeah.
You do pick up a ball, fling it at other people. Hopefully don't get one flung back at you. Hopefully don't be a total jackass that flings the ball at the wall and has it come back and get yourself. although you may want to do that because there's an achievement for doing it 100 times. And let me go ahead and point out that that sounds like a really high number until you realize just how easy it is to off yourself. I think I'm already like halfway through without actively trying. Because I just kept walking in front of my own ball like a jackass. I'm like, I'm going to catch it. Punk. Fuck you.
So proud of you.
The game has a really interesting aesthetic. It's kind of that low poly but hyper neon Tron like look to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a little futuristic but a little old school at the same time. I don't know that I could even give an accurate description of how many mutators there are for this game. Like, it's plain and simple to say, oh, it's dodgeball, and you've got balls on in the middle, and you rush toward them, and you grab them, and you fling them at each other, and you can play online, or you can play offline. And that's a basic descriptor. But the mutators are where Rebound shines. I can't even start to tell you how many there were. I was hitting random, and I think I hit random maybe 7 or 8 times before I hit a duplicate.
Damn.
It would let me set it up so that you could have as many rounds of as you wanted, and you could like curate your playlist of how you wanted to play and how many eliminations there were and all that. But I was just like hitting random and just seeing what it gave me and dealing with it. And there were so many different ways this game let you play dodgeball. Who fucking knew? There's a nitro ball that does not give a fuck about physics, and like the more it flies, the faster it goes. And so by the end, that motherfucker's just ping ponging off of everything, and like you're hoping you found a corner to hook her down in so you don't get hit. Because 9 times out of 10, you probably the one that sent it flying in the first place. But then at the same time, you can't just chill out and hope that you don't get hit and live forever, because the longer that you play, the floor starts to give way in little triangular segments. And so if you're taking too long, it gradually starts forcing you together by making the arena smaller and smaller till you have no choice. Either you're going to hit that motherfucker or you're going to fall. Or get hit. The plus side, or hit yourself. If you don't have friends and you don't particularly like to play online, or you cannot play online for some reason, you also have the option to add in bots and choose their difficulty. But not think that just because you put the bots on very easy that they give a fuck. They will still smash you. They will hurt your feelings, even on easy. They kind of just fling the ball a little more randomly. But also, if you're playing with the bots on easy, you're probably not that good either, and like you'll just walk into it and help them out. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but I might have walked into a few and helped them out. Again, back to the mutators. I mentioned the nitro ball. There was one that I hope never ever comes up for me again, and it made the arena spin. I can do without that.
Yeah.
That one was a little harsh. It was fun to play, but it's been a while since a game has triggered my motion sickness, and there I was.
So it might be worrisome for me if you were getting motion sick. Damn it.
And I mean, you can set it up to not play in that one and not play that mode.
Yeah.
But you would have to like be actively paying attention, especially if you're using the randomizer.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, oh no, that says spin, let me go change that. And then Carnage
is saying online was a bit laggy as well. Him and Dwaggy were playing and they ran into some lag. Not unplayable, but annoying.
And that was my next point. Yes, it has online. I couldn't find anybody. Normally too, I say all the time as a disclaimer that like I play super balls ass early when I'm playing review games, and that does affect my ability to find players. But we've had this game for a little while, and I have tried to play all different hours.
Well, don't forget, it's days, as we're recording, it's not out.
Pre-release, yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't get to test it. I tried, but
should have hit up Carnage.
Yeah, I don't talk to Carnage.
A foreign a forge.
But I tried. I just didn't get to check out the online, which was a bummer. I couldn't even, I guess I could have put it on the other Xbox and made number one do it, but I would have had to broke the no games on school nights rule.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes I have to sacrifice my children's education for reviews.
I mean, look at this. Look at the education system anyway. It's not like they're learning anything.
Not in redneck land, they ain't. But yeah, besides all that, I, again, this is another instance where I had more fun than I was expecting to going into it. I was already a little jilted from a previous bad dodgeball experience. And so I was like, please let me load this up and it actually be dodgeball. So I was pleasantly surprised. It was funny because I was looking up more information about it, as I do usually with these games. And there was an article from with an interview from the developers, and they were talking about how they were heavily inspired by the mutators in Rocket League.
Ah.
And I could definitely see the inspiration, like the willingness to just let you fuck the game up any way you could to make it more enjoyable for you.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
But $15, what do you say on Rebound Dodgeball Evolved?
I'm going to give it a buy it. I don't have any bitches about it. That's the, you know, besides motion sickness. And also, I'm bad. But well, yeah, I
since you're giving it a buy it, I'm going to have to pick it up and we'll have to play together.
Sounds good. Yeah, given that it had online and everything, you know, maybe it might need smoothed out. Maybe that was a pre-release bug. I can't really speak to that. But I do think it's impressive that it does have it in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think at a $15 price point for a game with so many options for replay and with online as well, yeah, it's worth the price. I give it.
Awesome. I will have to pick this one up. I'm excited to hear that you enjoyed it.
Nice. I'm useful. Well,
you are. Sometimes you really are. You paid off.
I have my moments.
I have no regrets making you part of the show.
Today. Today you don't have a regret.
Yeah, there's plenty of regrets in the past.
There's one.
So you got a pick of the week?
You might be surprised. Despite the struggle we had with it, I give it to We Were Here.
Really?
Yeah. I really do. My cat just broke something.
Nice.
But I give it to We Were Here. I think it was just such a unique experience, and we don't have so many of those these days. Like, a lot of times it feels like we're playing the same genres over and over and over, and it was so nice for something to just break out of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique game.
Yeah, it was just, it was a different experience, and like, I've already got plans to play it with Aki this weekend. I'm going to make Studa's ass download it and play it with me this weekend. Eventually, between all the 74 people I know that have it, somebody might help me complete it.
Well, once you complete it, come back to me and then just run me through it.
Tell you the answers.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of Studa just subbed for only God knows why. Studa, thank you so much for the sub.
Take your money
indeed. Thank you so much. 5 months you've been subbing. I don't know why, but thank you very much.
He does it because I tell him to.
Yeah, that works. Whatever works.
Yep.
Pays off. We'll get to that biddy ree fitty the shitty compitty eventually. That and the subs, we'll make it.
Yeah.
But that is it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out, keeping us company, listening. Thanks to Grant for coming on. Thanks to Dark Mika for coming on. We're going to play some songs off of the Card of Darkness soundtrack from Stemmage. So keep an ear out for that and enjoy those songs. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show? No. Okay. We'll be right back.